Daniel chapter 3. And reading from verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall at the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." We finish chapter 2 with Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, having been taken from their families and homes as prisoners of war. They were taken to a foreign country. There they attended the royal training school in Babylon, where they were trained in the administration of the Babylonian Empire. They survived a death penalty through the superiority, the grace, and mercy of the God whom they worshipped, and they were installed in the highest position of authority in that foreign country. A gracious and merciful God has promised his servants that they need not be afraid, whatever their circumstances, for he will strengthen them, help them, yea, uphold them with his right hand of righteousness. Note, he does not promise a trouble-free life. We also read in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, "The heart is desperately wicked. Pride, jealousy, and envy are some of the evil that lurks in the heart." Which brings us to chapter 3. And the title, different books, commentaries give them different titles, but in my preparation, I've divided it and called it "The Golden Image and the Fiery Furnace," because those, to me, are the two main things in this chapter. So the golden image, verses 1 to 18. Again, for my preparation and ease of remembering things, I divide them up. And I've divided it into what I think is four natural parts. I mean, not all agree. But part one, which is verses 1 to 7, I've called the king's image and the command to worship. Now, Daniel had told Nebuchadnezzar that God had given him a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. He was the king of kings, and the golden head of the image in his dream was a representation of him. God had blessed him. What is our response to the blessings of God? How do we show our appreciation, if we do, to the blessings of God? Nebuchadnezzar's response was all about self. And that is seen in the statue that he made. We read that he made a very large golden statue, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. Wonder in your mind, how big do you think that is? 9 feet wide, 90 feet high. Now, just in case you didn't, from a practical perspective. Right, that's 9 feet, so that's the width of the statue. And the height, if you like, is 10 times that. So you can imagine, it was a big statue, it could be seen from a long way away. So, he built this image. There are differences of opinion exactly where this image was set up, but it is generally believed it was set up in the area, what we know as Syria today. Now, if you could picture, and some of you might be football fans, a modern football stadium, but much, much larger. And it's meant for ceremonial occasions. You picture that, we get a rough image of the area where this giant image was, or statue, was set up. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar had been told the golden head of the statue in his dream represented himself and the Babylonian kingdom. With the golden image set up, the king sent notification that all the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the chief officers of the kingdom, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, all the rulers of the provinces were to gather for the dedication of the golden statue. Worth noting that this wasn't your ordinary football crowd. It was gathered together people who were in places of authority and from the different countries that represented the province of Babylon. We read there, all the rulers of the provinces, people, nations, and language. It could be said it was more than a requirement just for a gathering. It was a requirement of total allegiance by all these different nations, peoples, languages to show their allegiance to Babylon and, by implication, to Nebuchadnezzar. If we look around in the world today, we might find parallels. When God blesses us with influence, authority, or success, our hearts face a test. How do we use those blessings, or how will we use God's gift? Will we use them to magnify him or to magnify ourselves? Nebuchadnezzar's pride, no doubt, caused him to see a future that was different to what Daniel revealed to him. God gave him kingdom, power, etc. These he accepted. God revealed that Babylon will be destroyed and other kingdoms will arise. He chose to ignore that revelation. God warned that an eternal kingdom, not made with hands, will be established forever. He dismissed that warning. Some might call it selective memory. Nebuchadnezzar chose to ignore the grace and the mercy of the God of heaven. By his actions, he was acknowledging that it was the Babylonian gods whom he worshipped as being responsible for the Babylonian kingdom been established as the greatest kingdom, for giving him the authority, power, strength, and glory. Again, as I said, short or selective memory. As a result of pride and memory problems, Nebuchadnezzar chose to worship and praise a statue representative of his gods. Because of his pride, he desired to be worshipped as a god. His statue was made entirely of gold, which he took from his dream. Again, selective memory. A herald told the gathering that when they heard the royal orchestra started to play, they were all to fall down and worship the golden statue. From the reading, though Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was present, it would appear that Daniel was absent, possibly elsewhere on king's business. Commentators give speculation on his whereabouts, but no one knows exactly where he was. The command could be considered as having two elements, a political element and a religious element. Ultimately, all worship was to be offered only to the golden statue. All previous worship offered to anyone or anything was now to cease. The golden statue was the only thing that they were allowed to worship. Rather than praise be given to the God of heaven, Nebuchadnezzar commanded the people to offer praise to a statue representing gods he worshipped. He did not accept what God had ordained. It was enough for him. He desired the praise offered by the people. He would be worshipped as a god. As an incentive to obey the king's command, the gathering was told that anyone who did not fall down and worship the golden statue, when they heard the music, they would be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Revelation 13 makes interesting reading. I'm not going to read all of that, but just read one verse, verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Nebuchadnezzar's declaration gives a glimpse of what will be in the latter days. Apparently, Babylon was famous for its large fiery furnaces that were used in building construction. So the threat was very real, and it would be carried out immediately. With such an incentive, when the gathering heard the music, they all fell down and worshipped the golden statue. Our selfish pride can make us blind to reality. In his desire to be worshipped, Nebuchadnezzar failed to, or choose not to, remember that the point of his dream was the destruction of all earthly kingdoms, which included Babylon, and the setting up of God's kingdom. God's kingdom is the only one that will endure forever. Despite the interpretation given to Nebuchadnezzar, was he in his own selfish and self-appointed mind, attempting to defy what God had ordained and revealed in the dream by making his image entirely of gold, as if to say, my kingdom will endure forever. Part 2, verses 8 to 12, the accusation against the friends. When we raise our flag up the mast, we become objects of curiosity. What do I mean by that? Well, whether people comment or do not comment, they become curious about our do's and don'ts. Sometimes we might be asked about our actions. Why do you do or don't do that? If we are inconsistent in our actions, we might be challenged. I did not think Christians behave in that way. It is important for us, as children of God, to be ever watchful so that we do not bring shame and dishonor to our Heavenly Father. Nebuchadnezzar had commanded that at the sound of the music, made by a variety of instruments, everyone was to fall down and worship the golden statue. We have two musicians amongst us, at least two that I know of. I'm not a musician, but I believe that the different instruments that make up a modern orchestra are chosen primarily for the melody that they make together. Yeah? No? The instruments chosen by Nebuchadnezzar was chosen not just for their melody, but more because of their symbolic associations in Babylonian worship. The horn was symbolic of royal authority and summons. The flute was apparently for emotional or ecstatic rites. The zither, courtly luxury and entertainment. The lyre for temple worship. The harp for soothing and enchanting music. Once more, picture the crowd at a football match and the music of the home team strikes up. What is the purpose of that? Well, I would think generally for encouraging the home team and possibly showing a superiority over the opponents. As the band began to play, the music would have set a mood of quiet subservience and worship. The gathering all fell down and worshipped the golden statue. But, sorry, not all the gathering. Once more, we see evidence of secret sins lurking in the heart, surfacing as appropriate. Envy and jealousy. Some of the Chaldeans went to the king, hoping to see the Jewish lads thrown into the fiery furnace. They had forgotten that because of these same Jewish lads, they had escaped the death penalty ordered by the king. Instead, they reported that certain Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom the king had set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, was there a bit of professional jealousy or rivalry. They did not regard the king. A personal affront to the king. They did not regard the king. They did not serve the king's God. Religious hostility. They had a different priority. It is to be assumed that the other Jewish captives must have bowed down when they heard the music. They did not worship the golden statue that the king had set up. Horror of horrors. Obedience to God being the priority of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We ought to obey God rather than men. Worth noting that in his decree, Nebuchadnezzar did not actually mention anything about anyone having to serve his gods, but the accusers added it to their charges. One might say, adding fuel to the flames, increasing the king's fury. Part 3, verses 13 to 15. The furious king confronts the friends. Making decisions should be avoided if we find ourselves suffering from the emotion of anger. In Nebuchadnezzar's action, we are again reminded of how quickly we forget the blessings and mercy of God and the truth of 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. The Chaldeans' desire accomplish, accusation leads to confrontation. Nebuchadnezzar, his mind blinded by pride, his heart filled with rage and fury, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought to him. So far, we have seen that when there's been a confrontation, Daniel appeared to be the one that took the lead. On this occasion, Daniel was not present. It is good to have others on whom we can look to and ask for aid or support. But ultimately, our eyes must be fixed on the one who is almighty. Nebuchadnezzar asks whether what he had heard was true, that the friends did not serve his gods and worship the golden statue. Before they could answer, he offered them a proposition, a second chance if they would fall down and worship the image. When they heard the band strike up and the music play, all will be well with them. However, if they did not, they would be immediately cast into the burning fiery furnace. He then challenged not only the three friends, but the God of gods. Again, we are reminded of Nebuchadnezzar's desire to be worshipped as a god. We live in a world today where there is much pressure for compromise with the word of God. Nebuchadnezzar, he did not ask the three friends to stop worshipping their god. He just wanted them to add a little addition to what they did. It may seem a little thing to compromise, but in our compromise, are we being disobedient? Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 to 5. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God. The three friends chose not to disobey their God by compromise. Part 4, verses 16 to 18. The friends' unshakable faith in God. The three friends responded to the king's proposition. Oh Nebuchadnezzar, we are not worried about this matter. Our trust is in God. The faith of the three young men. What is faith? Faith is not something you have, but something you do. It is what or whom you put your trust in. Their faith lay in the fact that they knew that Jehovah was able to deliver them. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Ephesians 3 and verse 20, our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Here is faith in action, knowing what is right and doing what is right. Even if God did not deliver them, they would not bow down and worship the golden statue. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not offend our God by obeying the king's command to serve his gods, nor worship the golden statue which you have set up. A contrast between the king's rage and the friend's cool, calm, and correct answer under pressure. Their commitment was to Jehovah alone. They displayed courage during intense animosity, a courage that was based on their conviction that whatever befalls them, it will be for God's best and ultimate good. What can we take away? There is the example of the three friends. In whom do you put your faith? There is a challenge of compromising. Often it may seem only a little thing. However, in submitting to that small thing, are we in danger of making a very large mistake? May the words of our Heavenly Father be written on our hearts, and may we be given the wisdom so that by faith, what we do and what we say will demonstrate our total commitment to Jehovah. Acts 5 and verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. May the Holy Spirit enable us to do that which we know is right and honor our Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen.